Cuddle up on the couch and get cozy. It's time for Spooning with Dan Hagen, Ryan McElrath, Calvin Lee, and Noah Ford. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Spooning in the podcast app of your choice.
Yes, this is Spooning edition. I believe it's 3 of the semester of our final semester here at St. Olaf. Really excited to be here. Feel free to subscribe to our podcast. Yes, we have a podcast, and it's on iTunes or whatever podcast medium you so choose. So feel free to subscribe, promote it, tell your friends, tell your grandparents, tell your cousins' cousins. Just, you know, tell everyone you can. So we'll just get right into it, and we'll start with our usual segment, highs and lows. Welcome, Ryan McElrath. How's your week?
It's pronounced McElrath, actually.
McElrath. Okay, you're changing
yes,
for that.
Yes, changing it.
Okay.
Yeah, this week was pretty good.
Okay.
I had a great luncheon with my friend Cully Vance this week, and we went very deep into the movie Interstellar.
Just one question.
Yes.
Could you make a distinction between a luncheon and a lunch?
I was assuming that they meant the same.
Okay.
Maybe
I just thought
don't.
It sounded more formal. Like, I imagined, like, a vase with flowers in between, like, a white, like...
The silverware was already laid out, I think, larger, like, forks move in, I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
But yes, it was very formal, very nice.
Nice.
We had a great conversation about the movie Interstellar and trying to figure out all the details and just trying to actually understand that movie as a whole.
All right.
My favorite actor at the moment is definitely Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
So I told her that I'm going to watch the movie over again this weekend, and we're going to have round 2 of the of our luncheon to so I can bring more.
That's neat. Yeah.
Yeah, bring more depth into the movie analysis. So that was my high, but the low actually happened tonight or this afternoon, where I was doing laundry before the show, and I planned I was going to start at 3:30 so I would have enough time to get both the wash and dry cycles before going to dinner.
Is this your second consecutive laundry-related low? I believe so.
I think Cal brought it up last time.
I think he's his laundry. Yours is related to the Tide stick. Oh, I shouldn't have brought that up. Sorry.
That happened in the past. We're not bringing it up.
This room just got, like, really tense. Okay, we'll move on.
Yeah, so everything was going... pretty well. I was running three loads at the same time, and I threw 2 in the dryer, no problems with that. And when I opened up the third washing machine, the water just spilled everywhere. And quickly closed it, realized that even though the washing machine is turned off, the water was still running inside. And so by the time that I got the AC involved, there was probably a half inch of water on the floor. So that's kind of a buzzkill to my, I guess, my timing with everything. So I still have my clothes in the dryer, one still in the laundry or in the washing machine. So, yeah, that sucks.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's too
really
bad.
Rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
just so we kind of have like some recurring, themes to our show. Did you ever end up getting that stain out? Because I've got so many calls or so many emails from our listeners. This is what they're curious about.
You know, I did go back with a white Crayola crayon, and that did the trick. Honestly.
Really?
Yep.
Perfect.
It's gone. You can't see it.
Yeah.
So
it's probably a little rigid right there, but you know, who cares?
A little bit. Yeah. A little waxy. But PSA is that don't buy the Tide stick, buy the white crayon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. All right, Noah Ford, welcome again.
Thank you. Yeah. This week, I would say my high has been, it is my birthday today, so I guess it's a day high.
Yes.
But, you know, it's my birthday week, which is kind of a big deal. And the low is very related to this podcast in that I was supposed to be throwing a surprise party, but Ava, my girlfriend, was probing into this, like, what my day was going to be like, what I was doing. And I was like, yeah, I just, like, the one big thing that I really want to do is, like, spooning 6 to 7. And that's apparently the exact time that the surprise party was supposed to be. And there was just, like, no way to maneuver the situation that could make it better. Nobody did anything wrong. But, yeah, it was just – I totally ruined it. The surprise party was canceled. But I think I came out on top. I'm happy.
Okay.
To hear.
Yeah. Well, is there? So they just canceled, or is there like? Is it a later time now? Or
yeah, for all you listeners, at 9 p.m. at the Rue, my birthday will be celebrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna? Is it like? Are you gonna still like pretend it's a surprise? You're gonna like, walk in like, oh,
see,
oh my gosh!
I texted her and I was like, hey, like. Just tell them it's on, and I'll just come in and pretend that it's a surprise party.
Yeah.
And everything will be fine. We reschedule it till like 7 or 8. All is good. But apparently she just canceled the whole thing and just said, like, she was pretty rattled just because it landed at the worst time.
Okay. That's a shame. Funny. All right, Calvin Lee, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be back again, Dan. My high this week happened last night. I got to play some Settlers of Catan with my buddies, and... even better, I won, so...
Congratulations.
I mean, the powerhouse that is our host, Dan Hagen, wasn't participating, so...
Yeah, that's true.
There has to be an asterisk put next to that victory, obviously, but it still was a good confidence booster for me. Mm-hmm. And then my low just happened a few minutes ago. There was no bag lunch sandwiches at dinner for me to capitalize on, so... That is the one thing that I factor in every week, and it's why I go to the Cap on Friday for dinner.
Yeah, usually you have about a stack, like... This high, I guess our listeners can't see my hands right now. I'm making a big step.
They're wide apart, folks.
Yeah, they're very wide apart. Okay, what was your strategy in Catan?
I didn't really expand outward. I just kind of developed from what I had.
Yeah, I think, honestly, the key to like winning a Catan is being able to be like have a lot of different styles of winning. You have to adapt your game. But I think usually the most effective is just to, like, because your two best, the two first spots. Sorry for people who've never played Catan before. This is going to be a little intense, but the first two spots are where you get your most resources, right? That's your two best locations on the map. So it makes sense to get cities there as soon as possible.
Exactly right. That's the strategy I went for, and development cards. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of those.
So. You know, I just crack up every time when like Hayden and Pete just get into like the road building like championships. Like, yeah. So it seems like such a waste of time and resources. All right, so my highs and lows, you know, they kind of come together this week. So recently in my plant phys class, I gave a presentation on carnivorous plants, and I was in a very, like, joking mood that day, and I had to prepare a slide on, like, a research paper, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of, you know, making people's lives a little more surreal, also doing things that are unexpected, so... Instead of having like facts about my research paper on my slide, I just had like three jokes on my slide. I'll say them on air for everyone. So think about carnivorous plants as kind of the context. So what did the Venus flytrap say, or what did the Venus flytrap order at the restaurant?
I don't know, Dan.
Flies.
That's it. Cheeseburger and flies.
Oh,
that absolutely killed. Absolutely killed.
Really? Everybody
the class was
just
hysterics.
Like, rolling around.
My professor, I think, like made everyone give a round of applause, which is kind of weird. I don't know if that's really genuine, but he enjoyed it at least. But I think most people were laughing. And then I had another one. So sundew is a type of carnivorous plant. So we're talking about sundew. And another joke was, and that was actually what my research paper was on sundew. And then I said, do all plants eat bugs? No. Sun don't. That killed too.
Wow.
So that was my high. And that, I mean, that was a couple weeks ago, but, and then
still riding off.
I'm still riding off that. Yeah. And my professor has put me in this position. Whenever he sees me, he's like, okay, what jokes are you going to say in class today? No. it's like a lot of pressure, but I like it. And I gave one, so Monday, this is all culminating towards Monday. He's like, what jokes are you going to say? Like, okay. So I was thinking about him. We were talking about, this will be a little more relevant for people who have studied plant physiology. But we were studying apoplasts and symplasts. So I told a couple jokes in class. The first one was, how did the apoplast get out of jail? And the answer is, what do you mean? An apoplast has never been in a cell before? Because, okay.
I like that you're just like laughing at your own joke right now.
I mean, I really enjoyed it because the idea about an apoplast is they never go between, they transport water from the root hairs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From the root hairs to the xylem. And they never actually go through the cells, they go around the cells. And then, so that one absolutely killed. I'm forgetting my other good one, but then, so those would be my highs, those two jokes. But then later in the class, he was like, Dan, tell another joke. And I was like kind of flustered. So I said, why did the Simplast not ask the Apoplast on a second date after the speed dating session? And the answer is the Simplast felt way more connected with the Plasmodesmata. So honestly, the content is there, right? It's a really funny joke. Yeah. I mean, you guys were barely containing your laughter there for those seconds. Okay. Yeah. But the problem is when I told the joke, I kind of like lost my breath.
Mm-hmm.
So like my punchline, the Plasmodesmata, it kind of got like muffled.
Ah,
so I told it and I was kind of like choking up or something. And then I just dead silence. Like the room was just quiet. So I just like sunk down in my chair a little bit. So that would be my low. That would be my low, telling that joke that flopped. But I did tell some good ones earlier.
I was going to say, it seemed like you were using some herbicide because you were killing it.
Gosh.
Oh, my
gosh.
Let's
go.
Oh, my goodness.
That was great. On the spot. That's good stuff, Ryan.
I'm really proud of myself.
That was good.
Thank you.
So that was my week. Those are my highs and lows of the week. But pretty good week. All in all, pretty good week. So let's transition to the next segment. This is the second longest tenured segment on Spooning, hosted by Ryan McElrath, Ask the Mac. So Ask the Mac is an advice segment, and Ryan comes up with these questions. Well, he doesn't come up with them, actually. Listeners submit them to his email, and he answers them on air and provides his best insight, and we like to chime in as well, although we are not psychology majors, so we don't have the best advice.
Ryan is not licensed in any way.
Ryan, I'll hand it off to you.
Awesome. Yeah, this is Ask the Mac. So we have got three questions this week, but I mean, it was filtered through the dozens and dozens that were actually submitted since last Friday.
Obviously.
But I only chose the best, the top three. So let's dive right into it. So the subject line for this one is, why does no one like my Facebook statuses? And this is coming from Rachel McAdams. Okay, so I posted a Facebook status that said, like this and I'll tell you the one thing I like about you, and only got 6 likes. Mostly when people do this, they get usually 40 likes. Am I one of those popular girls in my... I'm one of the most popular girls in my dorm, but I don't know why this is happening. Has this ever happened to you? And this is making me feel really insecure. What should I do? Well, I think we've all experienced this sometime in our life where we post something up on Facebook thinking that it's flame and it just kind of falls short. Hmm. I have posted some profile pictures thinking that it's going to get hundreds of likes, but it only gets like 30. And it does kind of make you feel a little insecure of whether people actually care about you out in the world. I would say don't take this too personally, but you should really try to separate yourself from social media and using that as a gratification. Does anybody else have anything to chime in?
Or I mean, if you just don't want to separate yourself from social media and get better at this, there's a lot of science behind the best time to post. I know for Instagrams, I think it's Wednesday at 5 p.m. So you know, maybe she's just posting at like
Maybe she chose the wrong time.
There's a lot of other posts going out. Mm-hmm. Probably some of the more popular kids at school. Like, sorry, mm-hmm. sweetie, but yeah. So you just got to find a good time. You got to find your niche. You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Got to compete against the other posters. I like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Those news feeds can get clustered quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yours can get lost in the.
So you want a high listener to post ratio
right
out there.
I feel like you're able to like put it like back on the news feed, like, because I know people like change their profile picture. And then, like, change it back, and then, like change it back to the original one, just so it's, like, back on the news feed.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure Dimitri does that.
Yeah, often. He definitely does. So maybe is there a technique? Is there, like, if you comment on it or something? I don't know. Or just, like, repost it. I don't know.
Or, like, what if Twitter? You could, like, retweet yourself more than once. Just every once in a while, like, remind people of a tweet.
That might seem a little conceited. it's worth a shot, though. You know, just what I was thinking about that, I'm just going back to Monday. You know, sometimes you take a big swing in front of 40 other students, and you miss. You miss big time. I'm talking about my plant phys class when I told Told the joke, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you just got to shake, you just got to, you know, rub it off or shake it off and continue living your day. You know, it's just one, it's just one post, you know, it's not the biggest of deals. But I think that's good advice from Noah. You know, if this really does like make you happy, and getting a lot of likes, then, you know, consider trying the best time.
Yeah. But I have to say, like, our generation definitely has a little bit too much of an attachment to like social media and like, I guess the likes or the follows that you get on Twitter.
I don't think you can generalize people like that. I mean, I don't.
Sir, okay. you're not the psychologist in the group.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's almost like everyone wants their voice to be heard these days. You know, make a podcast that has 4 followers, and so just trying to broadcast yourself everywhere.
Fair point.
Okay. Well, that was a great question of Rachel McAdams.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes. I wonder if it had any relation to the Mean Girls, Rachel McAdams. But
she could be listening.
It could be, yeah. Anyways, here comes the second one from Anonymous. Should I give my Spuddy some flowers on her birthday? Oof. Anyways, I met this girl, Angela, during interim break, and she has a really busy schedule this semester and four of her classes and an off-campus job. She's made it clear that she cannot handle a real relationship right now, and I just don't want to piss her off. Her birthday's next week, and I was thinking about getting her some flowers. Or would that be too much? Oof.
So it sounds like she doesn't want a relationship. Or he?
She. Angela. Yeah.
Angela does not want a relationship. So I think flowers would imply that. Yeah. I don't know. I think more importantly, she should just be upfront with her friend and make sure he or she's on the same page.
Do we know what color flowers?
He did not, or she. I guess we
got like yellow for friendship, red for love. It's an important detail.
Yes, definitely. Especially around Valentine's Day. Okay. If you're going for somebody that's not exactly a significant other,
right,
you give them white flowers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gave Ava a red rose as a friend, and now we're dating. So that's how that goes.
I had
to stick to the color. I found out later. I was like, I guess we just have to date.
You found in retrospect. Okay, yeah.
That's a smooth pickup line.
Wow. You know, I think she's made it pretty clear, though, that she does not want anything from this. So I think, sticking with some, like, some spring colors, maybe, if your heart is really set on this flower thing, but maybe like a scone for her birthday.
A scone
or like some balloons. I don't know.
Oh,
what's like
loons?
Balloons. No.
A flock of loons.
That would be. I would do that for like.
You know, I think scone would be. I think that would be. That's a little more like ambiguous about. like, if someone gave me a scone, I would have absolutely no idea what to think. Flowers are a little more. I feel like they're a little more intentional. You know, they're a little have
more meaning behind.
They have more meaning behind them. So I think a scone. So I guess in do we all agree? In summary, I think she should give. That was a very good suggestion. I think scone is the answer.
Yeah. All right. Well.
So we're gonna be making like T-shirts. Pretty soon for the podcast, and I like how some podcasts have like T-shirts with like they're like most quotable lines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking like, when in doubt, give her a scone. So if somehow we keep bringing that up, you know, and make that a thing, because I think that'd be a funny T-shirt.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We should also retake the photo, I think, for this podcast.
Oh, yes, we do need to do that.
We've kind of trimmed down the size.
Right. I think it might be hard to just kind of cut the people out of our current photo, which I think there's like 7 people in the photo. Two of the seven in the studio right now are on the photo. Ryan and Noah were not, so it would be hard to use that.
Okay, well, we're down to... David G with the last question.
I'm still on this like promoting the show kind of thing, so excuse me, but Like, what do you think a good picture, like, picture would be?
A good picture?
You know, like, I want this to, like, represent our show. Like, what image can we have that represents our show well?
Well, the previous photo of us all spooning together under a large blanket.
While on a cloud shooting from a rainbow from St. Olaf. I don't think it really represents us that well.
No.
It was kind of more of like a shock factor.
Yeah. I think maybe like all of us in onesies. Like maybe like some nice like dolphin onesies.
Okay.
I'm just trying to keep it with the spooning like aspect. Or unless you want us to be holding like a really big spoon that I can get a...
That spoon in
Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
We should be sitting on the spoon.
Exactly. Something like that.
Might be difficult, but, you know.
You know what'd be really artsy is that, you know, like how when you look into a spoon, it's like the reverse and you're like all distorted and like stuff.
Yeah, upside down.
I think that would be a cool
down.
Image, like distorted and upside down, like our four faces.
Like regular photo, and then like on the back is like reverse, like looking at the different sides of the spoon.
Oh, so like that's like the back curve.
Yeah, you are the spoon. Like the shirt is the spoon, and. I'm going way too.
We'll
deep.
Talk about it after. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it after.
So send in your ideas to our various media outlets.
Yes,
and if we choose your idea, you might get a little reward coming your way. So
we should actually start like an email account. Like we should do that. Just set up like a Gmail account for people to send questions. I mean, not that these questions aren't original already, but just for people to send questions to.
Let's call our people, get that.
Yeah, maybe that we should happening. Be planning the show not on air. So maybe let's finish the segment. Let's ask Mac. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
So we'll be going to our next segment. We're going to take a quick break, though. We'll be right back. The next segment is called the Euro Minute, and it's hosted by Calvin Lee. It's our longest tenured segment, and Calvin just tries to go through all the European sports action from the past week as fast as he can. So I'll hand it over to him.
Yes, welcome, folks. This is the Euro Minute, where I'll be taking you through the most important athletic events from across the pond in the last week. So let's jump right into it. We're starting with cricket action, of course, as England swept three ODI tests against the West Indies, while Ireland had two disappointing results in T20 action against Afghanistan. There was one fixture from the fourth round of the Rugby Six Nations Cup, which saw a surprising result as the slumping Wales beat Ireland. And then we all know that the World Baseball Classic has just gotten underway, and the European teams are finding some surprising success in the early stages as Netherlands won their pool in South Korea, finishing ahead of Israel, South Korea, and Chinese Taipei. While last night, a comeback for the ages as Italy, who trailed Mexico 9-5 in the ninth inning, rallied and scored five runs without recording a single out to get a shocking victory in Mexico against Mexico. Speaking of comebacks, there have been none greater in the Champions League than Barcelona's reversal against Paris Saint-Germain. Trailing 4-0 from the first leg, they rallied and scored a 6-1 victory at the Camp Nou to have what was a 1,000-1 odds at one point, shocking overturn of Paris. So they're going through. And then, in addition, a brace from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabonese striker for Dortmund, saw them take out Benfica. We also had Europa League action as United had a disappointing 1-1 draw away to Rostov, and French league team Lyon got an impressive 4-2 win over Roma. And back in the Premier League, we saw Chelsea maintain their stranglehold on the Premier League with a 2-1 win over West Ham, and Crystal Palace got an important victory to move them from 18th to 17th position out of the relegation zone. Which means that for the fans of Middlesbrough, Hull City, and Sunderland, the only thing they have to look forward to is a decrease in season ticket prices next year. And that has been the Euro Minute.
Thank you, Cal.
Savage.
So this is going quite a bit back. But when you said slumping Wales, I just lost it.
I had so many images.
I just imagined like slumping Wales, obviously.
Slumping Welsh, we'll say.
That was great. Awesome. So our next segment is Pulse of Campus. We'll be doing a brief interlude while I go out to find a student. So just kind of an overview of what this segment is all about. I go out to Bunt Rock Commons. We're currently at St. Olaf College, by the way, if you didn't know that. sort of saying, well, we're right in the Commons building, so I'll go out and I'll see if someone wants to come on the show. And then we'll ask him some serious questions, and then we'll try to catch him off guard with some zany ones. I'll hand the mic off to Noah Ford.
All right, people. So as our podcast grows, we've been thinking about monetizing, just because we have to have audio production and advertising in the future, of course. And so our program will be $1 for podcast shoutouts and $2 to sponsor any segment, even the infamous Euro Minute with Cal. And if you would like to name me a podcast that is cheaper to sponsor, and I will tell you that's fake news. It costs about $10 to $15 a month to host a podcast, and so we'd like to cover that. And it does cost a lot to show these silent films that we've been playing over our show. And believe it or not, Charlie Chaplin is still collecting royalties. And I would also like to talk about some tough weeks that some people in the world of sports have had. And first, I would like to start with Brock Osweiler. He was recently traded from the Texans to the Browns, and he is also likely to be dropped from the Browns once he gets there. So, to me, I felt like this was going from being a waiter at a fancy restaurant to somehow the next day being fired from McDonald's. So, in my sports psychology class, we talked about how this would be a great way to get a fresh start, and I just couldn't get my head around it. I think, like many other NFL quarterbacks who have failed, it's time for him to go try out from an MLB farm team. And moving on, Draymond Green. Recently it came out in his game at MSG that he was frustrated that they decided to not play music in the first half. He said it messed up his flow and that everyone should, that this was a disgrace to the game of basketball. And then he also that same week trash-talked Paul Pierce, probably a future Hall of Famer, for doing what many call a farewell tour, where after each game you get the praise, even if it's not, you know, your home arena and things like that. And I think it's pretty ridiculous that he blamed his poor performance on a lack of music. And he said it in an age of computers, we should be progressing. I still am trying to figure out what that means. Magic Johnson, his tweets have recently come back up in the ridiculousness and utter lack of content. Some highlights I have presented are: the only way San Antonio or Miami don't win the championship is if neither team makes the finals. And while he's not wrong, I just don't think it's, you know, worth putting out a tweet for this.
So are you saying that he's becoming like the Donald Trump of tweeting? Or?
Well, he doesn't put sad exclamation point at the end of his tweets, but yeah he's definitely heading towards a, you know,
there's
characters there, but it's not content.
It's a slow decline. Like, it's, or it could be fast, I don't know, but it's nothing good coming out of his Twitter handle.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The Draymond Green thing with the music, I mean, I know at the Timberwolves
so
games,
ridiculous.
Do you really want to hear Sweet Escape while you're trying to put an offensive possession together?
No.
I think that would hurt
or
me,
that
honestly.
Frickin' T-Wolves army that just bangs on the drums the whole game.
Yeah, I have to say, though, like, who were they playing against?
Draymond at Madison Square?
Yeah, Madison Square. Okay, well, anyways.
I was too focused on
his
issues.
I did see that.
Must have been the Knicks, right?
They on the big screen, they said they were not playing any music, in order to have a pure form of the game.
Yeah.
So, I believe it would throw any player off because it is a completely different experience.
I think when you're on the court and you're in that kind of zone, they probably don't hear it. And they couldn't tell you what song played that night.
I think it's funny they think they could get a pure form of the game when they have the Knicks playing.
Yeah.
it's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems contradictory to me.
Yeah, now the T-Wolves, they need to play more music because lack of attendance and then the lack of some days skill. I have to say that they've been playing very well lately.
There's a lot of catering to us millennials, which I love, just being grouped in a 10-year category. But and I know that the Twins are, MLB as a whole, I guess, is trying to make games shorter somehow, just because I don't think anyone wants to sit there for 3.5 hours.
They got the organ music going at the MLB games, too.
Sue, the organist, I met her back when the Metrodome was still a thing. And you could go into her, booth and watch her play, and then she'd just kind of be talking to you while she's, doing the...
Laying down...
Exactly, yeah.
For, 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow, dedicated to the cause.
So awful. Mm-hmm. Another highlight from Magic Johnson I found, and these are all real tweets. I know we might possibly make up a few things in the show, but this is real. Well, this was, I didn't comment on the Draymond Green play because I'm old school and there was nothing to say. Well, in fact, by tweeting, you did comment.
Yes, so. That is a paradox.
Okay, sorry to interrupt as usual. But this is Pulse of Campus. I introduced it earlier. We found a couple people. I walked around. I walked around the pause. Asked about three people. Some no's. I'll be honest. Some no's.
Typical.
I went up to the cage. Also some no's. So we almost struck out. But then I realized there's three people sitting in the Castillo studio who seem really interesting. I just started. I was as a test. I like started a shouting match with them to just see how they would like respond to like weird things, and they responded really well. So let's kick it off. Let's get your names first. I'm Dan, by the way. Nice to meet you guys.
I'm Milda.
Nice to meet you, Milda.
I'm Zeos. I'm Sumner.
Nice to meet you guys. Milos, Zio, and Sumner.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
I want to turn your levels down a little bit. You're kind of hot there in the peaking.
How does one do that?
Right here.
Yeah. Yes, what the hell, dude?
It's been 3 years, Dan.
We need this guy.
Yeah, thanks for rooting the vibe.
Yeah, that's great.
Rooting the vibe. I'm going to get those levels, you know?
Yeah.
Levels by Beachy. Sorry.
Okay, welcome to the show. So I just want to hear about your week. Was it a good week? God. What was like the most interesting that happened to you guys?
Ooh, it was a really fast week, I'd say. Pretty fast.
Okay. Yeah, this week was terrible.
Oh.
This was an awful week.
Worst week tell them. Oh, literally, actually, we had a pretty...
What happened?
There's a pretty funny story. Zeos was telling me. Okay. Here, go tell the story.
Okay, I had a...
History paper.
So I had a... I'm in this class, History of Modern Britain, and I had a take-home exam, which consisted of two papers, very long papers, and I thought I could finish it on Sunday, but I couldn't, and so I didn't finish it, and I turned in my professor late, and it was pretty
bad.
That's
literally the worst way of telling the story possible. So he had this paper that was due, and he did it late, so I was like, Zeos, like, you realize that on an exam, like, you can get in a lot of trouble if you turn it in late, and he was like, okay, what should I do? And I was like, you should email the prof. So we spent, like, an hour trying to formulate the perfect email of what he could write, and I was just like, I was giving examples of what he could say. I was like, you should tell him that you had like explosive diarrhea and like couldn't get off the toilet to write your paper. So we were gonna make the
but you could write an email.
We were gonna make the subject lining of the email, pipes are clogged.
That's awesome.
Pipes are clogged. And
wait, wouldn't explosive diarrhea mean like the pipes are the opposite of clogged?
Yeah.
You didn't. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I don't know. This.
I'm thinking too much.
Would be clogged, but he didn't send it that way. He sent a very cordial, politically correct email to the professor.
Oh, and then
the professor just didn't give up.
The funny part was that when I sent my professor the email, I hadn't actually finished the second paper yet, but I sent him like, I'll bring the papers in tomorrow. Let me know if there's anything you want me to do, and he said, send me them now. In the email. Send me the files now.
Serious?
And so I just didn't respond and just...
And he had not done the paper, so he just did it 12 hours later.
So the next day, I was finishing in the morning, and I was late to class because I was finishing the paper, and I came in late, and I didn't have it because the printer in Old Main broke.
This really was rough.
Yeah. But the funny story is the professor didn't really care at all, and he was really chill. He's like, oh, it's fine, just turn it into my office. And he was like...
Okay, that's strange that he like wanted it now and then like later in person.
He didn't care.
Yeah, he was like, "No, it's all right, whatever."
So okay. It worked out really well. Yeah. Pipes clogged isn't always a good answer.
Basically, because of that, I was like, all my assignments for their classes were all late and messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So just bad week.
Okay.
This highlight of the week was okay. Pipes are clogged. Pipes are clogged. Yeah.
So this is a new segment. It's called Pipes Are Clogged. we talked about various people with issues with plumbing. Thank you for that. I just want one final answer from you guys. I'm just wondering, you know, many people are wondering about, like, spirit animals. But what's your spirit plant?
Oh, man, that's really weird because someone asked me what my spirit animal was this week, and I had no idea what to say. Spirit plant, I'd say probably a praying... No, that's not... Praying mantis is not a plant. What's it called? A flying lotus. No, not a flying lotus. That's a band. Okay.
That's another plant.
What's it called? What's the one that eats flies? Venus flytrap. That's there we go. Okay. That's my answer.
Mine is a shrub because I'm the shrub master.
Shrub master.
A plastic houseplant.
Easy to take care of.
Because he's fake AF.
Okay. You heard it here on K-Snow, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Pipes are clogged. Ouch.
Yeah, you guys will be back next week.
We will be
segment,
back next
right?
week.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Yep. See ya. Thanks for coming.
Yep.
I think the subject line could have just been, I ate at Tebow. I think that would have said all.
I still understand how you could craft an email like that intricate, but you apparently can't write a paper.
Spend an hour.
That's my favorite part. He spent like so long trying to write.
Oh,
like,
my goodness. Gosh.
I've experienced both of those, though. Like spending half an hour on writing like the perfect email to a professor, and then also having like the experience between a professor online and in person can be completely different. Like just polar opposites. Usually they're a little bit more sympathetic, I feel like, when in person.
Right.
We kind of talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
A couple weeks ago with Tollifer.
So. It's harder to say no in person, too, in general.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Indeed.
I've had it happen, though.
Oh,
and it's just awkward. Well, you're like, well, crap. Like, now, I don't know. What am I supposed to do now if you have a paper due? And she's like, no, you can't turn it in. So, okay, you know, I digress.
Might just have to start turning papers in on time.
Ooh. Shots fired.
What's the fun in that? Gotta lose.
Then you don't get to send creative emails to your professor.
Exactly, yeah.
Then your Asian tiger dad doesn't yell at you.
kind of interesting.
I might need some explanation on that one.
I over exaggerate his angers for me.
All good fun.
Kind of interesting, though, that Mila.
Milda?
Milda. She talked about her spirit plant is a Venus flytrap when we were just talking about carnivorous plants.
I know, that's
you guys twice the same episode. Talking about carnivorous plants at some point today?
Were you here during the beginning of the show? When I told the burger and flies joke that I absolutely killed?
Oh, yeah. Once I heard plant physiology, I kind of
just
took
tuned
it
out. Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens to me in the class. Just kidding. Cool. So I was thinking I would do my last segment. Did you do the three athletes?
Yeah, we had some spicy hot takes from Magic Johnson. Like, with Steph Curry on the floor, the Golden State Warriors are a championship team. Without him, they are still a very good team. So, yeah. So if this is what it takes to be a sports broadcaster, like, where do I sign?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Dial it back there, Magic.
What a hot take there. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a good segment, like just like a really like underwhelming statement.
Cold takes,
yeah.
Cold takes.
Like,
leftover takes.
I'm on. Like,
tune in next week.
The home line at lunch today was like pretty good. Like,
wow,
hot take. Right, because like, yeah.
Well, that's your cold take.
Cold take.
Okay,
right.
Because I was like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Throwing some shade at the home line.
Walking through Manta.
Moving on. So this is Walking Through Manitou, and I'm doing an independent study here at St. Olaf for this for my final semester here. And you know, as I walk around campus, I had an urge to kind of find out more about these buildings that surround me. Like, who are these names on these buildings, and you know, who else walked on this campus? Because there's some pretty cool stories. On this edition of Walking Through Manitou, we'll be talking about Old Main primarily. So I'm going to start off with a statement for you guys. The second building built on campus was the first building used at the school. Let me say that again.
Please.
The second building built on campus was the first building used by the school.
Well,
how does that make sense?
What's the first building that
they
built?
Like, what's the source? Or are you just...
It was more of a rhetorical statement. It was just something to ponder. I'll be answering it.
Thank you.
So, in 1874, as you oldies know, because you're all history buffs about the history of St. Olaf, in 1874, St. Olaf was founded by B.J. Moose and a man named Moan. But back then, they were in Northfield, on Division Street, actually. So they were very near Carleton. And back then, they were also an academy, so they were not a fully accredited college. They were there from 1874 to 1878. and they used one of the old public school buildings in town. The story goes as Thorsen and one of the first professors, his name was Reck, they were traveling via carriage down St. Olaf Avenue. Well, it's called St. Olaf Avenue today, obviously. Back then it wasn't. They were traveling, and Thorsen just looked up this hill, and he thought, you know, that's worth checking out. So Thorsen and Reck get out of the carriage, and they walk through hip-deep snow up this hill to the top of Old Main Hill. And the story goes, Thorsen remarks that, you know, this would be a really good place for a school. Unfortunately, the land was not up for sale yet. So they went back, and they were just waiting for an offer to come to the table. Meanwhile, Thorsen was traveling, and he went to Luther College to attend kind of like a church meeting, and a telegraph came in that the land became available. So immediately he purchased the land, and it was in very good timing too, because the Catholic Church in town was very interested in the land as well, and they were going to put a cemetery here. So if it wasn't for Harold Thorsen's quick thinking, there might be a cemetery on top of Manitou Heights. But they purchased the land, and in 1878 they started building and actually finished Old Main Hall. So back then, Old Main actually didn't have the parapet or the turret until 1884. So it's kind of funny. They didn't take any pictures. There's no pictures taken of Old Main without the parapet, because I think they were kind of slightly embarrassed from what I read. But Old Main used to be the entirety of campus. The professors and the female students lived on the bottom floor. On the second floor were the classrooms, and on the third floor were the men dormitories, and in the basement was the cafeteria. Also, there was a chapel inside too, so very very eclectic building, many uses. So they used this building for quite a while, until later they built Ladies Hall. So this was the second building built on campus, and I'm trying to think about, as I do my independent study, you know, what are the unique aspects of St. Olaf? And one of the unique aspects is that it's been a co-ed school since its inception, which is very, very cool. Many schools started as primarily or predominantly male or female schools. I mentioned in my statement earlier, the second building built on campus was the first building used on the school. So they were using the public school originally in Northfield. But then when it came time to get a second building, Harold Thorsen, ever frugal, decided to take the old building, deconstruct it, and reconstruct it where today near Holland Hall would stand. Its southeast corner would be where the northeast corner of Holland Hall is today. So they reconstructed it back on campus, and this was the Ladies' Hall, and that stood until about 1924. And it's just a very very diverse uses through its years. It started obviously as a public school, then it became St. Olaf's main building back when they were in Northfield, or back when they were on Division Street, and then it became Ladies Hall, and later it became the Music Hall. And I just want to read one kind of humorous passage. So this is from Joseph Shaw's book Dear Old Hill. So this quote is by H.B. Kildall, who is the brother of John Kildall, who was the second president of the school. So later, Ladies Hall was overshadowed kind of by another dorm, which was called Moan Hall. But when this was built, H.B. Kildall wrote, "It is overshadowed by the new modern Moan Hall when the sun goes down behind the western slope of Manitou Heights. But for us, who were there around the good old days, it is of great significance, for it is knitted to memories, yea, cherished memories of adventures which it was built to prevent." And kind of that tongue-in-cheek comment by H.B. Kildall was referring to
H.B. Kill 'em All.
was intended to separate the men's and women's dormitories, but inevitably adventures ensued. So that was Ladies' Hall. And then one final thing about Old Main that I thought was rather interesting is that, kind of bringing it more towards the present, in 1982 went under a renovation. And Old Main was known throughout the years. For the first century of the school, it was known for having very foul odors on occasion. So every now and then, just a terrible smell would really fill the space of Old Main. And professors and students were baffled by this. But when they did the 1982 renovation, they found some old cisterns underneath the basement of Old Main that they totally forgot about. And these cisterns were not carrying some very pleasant liquids, and some very noxious fumes were emitting them on occasion. So under the renovation, they were able to remove those, and ever since, Old Main has been odor-free. So that has been Walking on Manitou. Thank you. Okay, so it looks like we have about 7 minutes left. I was thinking we could just maybe do some closing thoughts. Talk about, well, whatever you want to talk about, or maybe just some plans for the weekend.
First of all, Closing Thoughts is sponsored by Jennifer Ford, who I just recently saw donated $2 to my bank account. And so she earned that sponsorship.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. Huge.
I love you.
Interesting.
Tonight I am going to a square dance, or wait, no, not square dance.
Swing dance.
I'm going to swing dance event tonight. So I'm really excited for that. Ryan, your yawning is just, it's really inspiring. Really riveting stuff, I know. So I'm going to the swing dance tonight, and very excited for that because I've never done that.
Get a tall before. Partner.
Sorry?
Make sure you get a tall partner.
A tall partner.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, okay.
It's tough.
You have a partner for tonight?
What?
For the swing dance?
I'm not. I won't be attending.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not?
I hear you have a surprise birthday party to go to.
What if you... A very not surprise birthday.
No, what if you, like, so you, first of all, you changed your birthday, like, party time.
Yeah.
And then you're like, sorry, I can't make it. Like,
Dan invited me to go swing dance.
I have a swing dance.
Or just scrap this whole thing.
Swing dance tonight.
You'd be buying some yellow flowers after that.
Yeah.
Yes. Dog house.
Yeah, what about you guys? Thoughts?
I'm sorry for yawning, but that walking in Manitou Heights, it was just, your voice is so soothing. Just
thank you.
Yeah.
That could be a podcast, Dan, the whole thing.
Thank you.
You should really, really like try to get a job in radio.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Anyways. Well, I just hope that my clothes can get out of the laundry. That's all that I'm really excited about tonight. All of our, or I shouldn't say all, because I've got three of my greatest friends in this room, but a lot of them, a lot of our friends are off campus tonight, so I think I'll be laying back, watching Interstellar, maybe. So,
good move.
Taking some notes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think this weekend is not a bad weekend to kind of, like, take it easy, especially with spring break coming up, you know. I'm hoping to get as rest as I can for that.
Road podcast?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a thought.
Yes,
that's a real thought.
Ooh.
Yes,
it's actually possible. Mm-hmm. All being the same.
Yeah. Area. Yeah, we should. Oh, are we gonna have a show next Friday?
Oh, I don't see why not.
Yeah, we could.
Right? Yeah, we should. Okay, so that'll be the pre-spring break podcast. That'll be great. Yeah, Kel, any thoughts?
Yes, one thing I did forget to mention in the Euro minute. Because frankly, they didn't deserve to be mentioned, is Arsenal Football Club. This team is in absolute shambles right now. They had a second leg of the Champions League tie against Bayern Munich, and they lost 5-1 again. They lost 5-1 in both legs of that, and they lost 5-1 a couple years ago to Bayern. So 3-5-1 defeats in a couple years has provided plenty of fodder for the internet trolls out there, such as Arsenal tend to be bad in the round of 16 and similar such insults. So not doing themselves any favors there.
I just imagine that on like a sign, like Arsenal tends to be bad in the round of 16.
There's always like the college game day signs. Like, I hope everyone has fun.
That's kind of along the lines of like the cold takes, you know, just like.
Yeah. Cal did a little bit of a Magic Johnson tweet there. Like, I don't think Arsenal deserves airtime.
Yeah.
Goes ahead and gives them airtime.
That's great.
They didn't even deserve to be mentioned in the Euro minute. But,
okay,
you know,
okay, so like
the butt end of the show. Yeah, the butt end of, appropriately.
All right, awesome. Thank you for our listeners out there. Feel free to contribute as Noah mentioned.
Yes, there will be a link in the podcast description.
Perfect.
It's just your typical kind of Square store. You hit like $1 or $2, and then we'll see your name there, and we'll put you on a sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Can you like choose which sponsorship?
I will look into that.
Okay.
If not through the website, you can email me at FordN@stolf.edu, and I can get you your sponsorship of choice.
Okay. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Feel free to subscribe also on any of your podcast networks.
It's free.
All right. We'll catch you guys next week. See ya.